Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of today's sermon, Words of Gold, especially John chapter 6, verse 29, where Jesus said these things. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom God has sent. It's really a lot of fun in the study of history and literature to dig up some famous words, some words of gold that summarize or define a famous person's life. Let me share with you a few sentences that are words of gold. These words come from a man named Howard Roof, a very famous financial advisor. He said, "Plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark." From Harry Truman, the 33rd president of the United States of America, in talking about leadership, he said these words, "If you can't stand the heat, stay out of the kitchen." And then these words you'll know, but I bet you don't know who said them, Fred Bernard, the pioneer in advertising, said these words. He said, "A picture is worth 1,000 words." And finally, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, a social activist in America, said these words, "Never look down on someone unless you are helping them up." Now, all these are memorable and golden words, yet they can't compare with the gold and the preciousness and the truth of a few passages of the Holy Bible. For example, the 3rd chapter of John, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." How about Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And Romans 8, 28, "In all things, God works together for the good of those who love him." And in today's reading from John chapter 6, we find some more words of gold from our Savior Jesus. Listen again to this sentence. You can say it after me, phrase by phrase. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom God has sent. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom God has sent. And so today, if you look at your sermon outline, our sermon has three parts about this golden sentence. We'll talk about a sentence with a question mark. We'll talk about an incomplete sentence, dot, dot, dot. We'll talk about a sentence with an exclamation point. First of all, the sentence with the question mark is this. And here's a good question for you to think about this morning. Do I get to heaven? Do I get to eternal life in heaven by faith or by my good works? The people in today's gospel reading in verse 28 asked Jesus this question, "What must we do?" Now, Jesus had just told them in the previous verse, "Do not labor for eternal life. I will give it to you." Jesus had just told them that salvation was a free gift received by humble faith as it is for us, but they wouldn't accept it. They figured they had to do something to earn it. Now, this natural, sinful human reasoning is alive and well in our world today. So many, many people, even church people who should know better, get caught up in the idea, I must do something to make God love me and to earn my salvation. This was as true in Jesus' day. In Luke chapter 18, a young man came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" In Acts chapter 2, the people hearing Peter's great Pentecost sermon said, "Brethren, what must we do?" In Acts chapter 16, the Philippine jailer asked Paul, "What must I do to be saved. The human mind is flattered by the idea of doing something for God or being entitled to a reward for good deeds. But this is not the way of salvation. It is not the way of the Holy Scripture. Let just one verse suffice for now. The verse upon which the Lutheran church was built. Paul says in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not by your works. So no one can boast. Salvation is God's gift that we receive by humble faith. Now, Jesus said the same thing in today's gospel reading, our golden sentence. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom I have sent. My friends, the issue is not what we can do for God, but what God has done for us. God the Father has given Jesus the Savior. And faith in Jesus, the Scripture says, is God's work in us. God gives us faith. He strengthens our faith. It's God's work, God's gift. Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Faith is not a good deed. Faith is a humble trust. Faith is a gift that God gives us when the Holy Spirit works through the preaching and teaching of his word and creates that faith in our heart. Flory, so glad to see you. I was talking about you and your husband in our Bible class this morning, how God, the Holy Spirit, through the preaching and teaching of his word, created, nurtured, and strengthened faith in your husband's heart till he professed his faith in Jesus, confessed his sins, received assurance of his salvation, and God took him home. Bible says, Jesus says, this is the work of God. God does the work in our heart that we trust in Jesus as our Savior. God is at work. The Philippian jailer asked Paul, what must I do? And Paul says, do nothing. The words from Acts 2 are these, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. My friends, here's good news for all of us today. The assurance of your salvation does not rest on the good work you have done or hope to do. The assurance of your salvation is what God has done in Jesus Christ for all of us. God the Father, sending Jesus the Savior, and the Holy Spirit then creating that faith in your heart as you hear his word taught and preached. And the good news for us today is this. God comes to us today. God is at work through the Scriptures and preaching through the Lord's Supper to create and nurture that faith in us. God is here and God is at work for you. Now, all around us in Richmond, and maybe if you live outside of Richmond, you can claim the same thing. But let me tell you, particularly now these days in Richmond, it seems everywhere you drive, there's construction. There's road repair. There's townhouses going up. There's pipelines being put in. All around you, you'll see signs, caution, men at work. It means slow down and pay attention because something's going on here. Well, in the entrance to this place of worship, I would like us to put up a different sign that says this, caution, God at work. Because God is at work in this very place to bring you to him, to strengthen your trust in him, to give you faith as he gave to our brother Harold. Jesus says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Now, we move from a sentence with a question mark. What's the next sentence on your outline? This is an incomplete sentence. What does it say? Human works, ... meaning the sentence is incomplete. This is an incomplete sentence because if good works, hear me carefully, if good works were the way to heaven, How can you ever be sure you've done enough? How many good deeds does it take to balance off the sin we've committed? How can we sleep at night wondering, if I died tonight, how could I ever be sure I've done enough good deeds to earn my way to heaven? When Jesus was asked one day if he could get to heaven, if someone could get to heaven on the basis of their good deeds, basically Jesus said, well, sure. If your test score is 100%, that is, if your goodness is perfect. His actual words in Matthew 5:48 are these. You think you want to get to heaven on the basis of your good deeds? Fine. Then he says, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And what good deeds are you or the people around you today counting upon to make you right with God? Things like, donations to charity, volunteer efforts for noble causes, my goodness, even church attendance? No, these are nice things, but they don't cover up our sins in the sight of a holy God. The prophet Isaiah put it this way, all our righteous deeds, that is, if you try to use them to get to heaven, all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. My friends, do good deeds because they're the right thing to do, but not to get right with God. Depending on them to get right with God, look at your outline, is like living a life that's an incomplete sentence without any assurance how your life will finally end. Jesus is our assurance, and that gets us to the third and last point of our message. A sentence with a what? Exclamation point. Here's the sentence. Put that on my account. I'll explain just a little bit later. Now remember Jesus' golden sentence in our sermon today was this. This is the work of God. Oh, say it with me again. This is the work of God. That you believe in him. Whom God has sent. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? To answer this question, we're going to connect it with this phrase. Put it on my account. And here we go. Put that on my account can be seen to be the summary of the shortest book in the whole Bible. It's the New Testament book of Philemon. Just one chapter. Just a handful of verses. Let me tell you about the story. Philemon was a very rich man in the church in Colossae, to whom Paul wrote the book, the letter to the Colossians. One day, Philemon's prized servant named Onesimus ran away. And robbed him, then he ran away. Now, Roman law was very clear on these matters. A slave who robbed his master and ran away would be put to death by crucifixion when he was caught. But Onesimus ran away to Rome to enjoy the high life in an exciting city. But Scripture tells us that God had his eye on Onesimus because Onesimus was caught and thrown into prison. And guess who his prison mate was? St. Paul. St. Paul, who was soon to be executed because of his preaching of Jesus. Now, God was at work. Here we go again. Because St. Paul proclaimed the good news of Christ to Onesimus, his prison mate, and God worked faith in Onesimus' heart. He confessed to Paul his wrongdoings, and Paul, the scripture says, then loved him as his own son. Then, Paul wrote a letter, the letter to Philemon. That's the letter in our Bible. And he asked Philemon to have mercy on Onesimus. Paul basically says, Philemon, everything that Onesimus stole from you, everything that he owes to you, Paul says, put it on my account. I will pay for it all. And according to Roman law, if a payment was made, the slave could be set free. Paul says to Philemon, I will pay all that he owes you. Please forgive his trespasses and set him free. Now listen to just a few words from the shortest book in the Bible. It's only 25 verses. Go home and read it today. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker in Colossae, I appeal to you on the basis of love, as Paul, an old man and now a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while with me in chains. I am sending him back to you, no longer as a slave, but as a dear brother. And if he owes you anything, put it on my account, and I will pay it back. Now, this is an historic letter and an event, but this book was put in the Bible to also give us a parable of our relationship with Almighty God. Philemon, the rich and powerful man, plays the role of God the Father. Paul plays the role of Jesus to pay the bill, and Onesimus plays the role of you and me. We have wronged God. We have sinned against him. We have stolen God's honor and the obedience due to him. We have run away from him in our sin and our rebellion. We can't make up what we have done. We are fit for an eternity in a prison called hell. But then Jesus goes to the Father on your behalf. He tells the Father, yes, Anthony is guilty. The Father says, yes, Christina has broken your commandments. The Father says, yes, Alvaro has a bill he cannot pay because of the debt of his sin. But Father, this sinner has confessed their sin. He has put their trust in me and become a new person. I ask you, Father, to charge all that they have done to me, lay it upon my account, and I will pay it all for him. And on the cross of Calvary, Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world, your sins and mine, and he yelled out, Father, put it on my account. And when he died, he yelled out, it is finished. That is, the debt has been paid in full. The sins of the world have been paid for. As Paul did for Onesimus, Jesus has done for us. Amazing. Amazing grace. So let me ask you the question of the sermon, and see if you were paying attention. On behalf of all these things we've said, so now, what do you need to do? Do? Have you been listening to anything I've said? You do nothing. To quote what must be the favorite verse from my favorite hymn and all of hymnody, Rock of Ages, it says this. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. With a free and joyous heart, we humbly trust in Jesus our Savior, and even realize that that trust is God's gift to us. Again, Jesus' words of gold. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom I have sent. Now those are words of gold. In the name of Jesus, amen.